This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Austerity and lockout threats roil the National Football League and the National Basketball Association. The former Indiana guard A.J. Moy starts rehabilitation after having a stroke following a head-on collision with a teammate. There has been an avalanche of media coverage of the helmet-to-helmet hits, and the cover of Sports Illustrated is about concussions. Meanwhile, the response of the owners has been to sue 262 players over their workers' compensation.
And it still takes at least 3 year NFL career to get any health care after retirement. And oh yeah, the league still seeks to extend the playing season and threatens drastic cuts or elimination of health benefits to the players.
And now, austerity and lockout threats roil NFL and NBA, with Dave Zarin, author of Bad Sports, How Owners Are Ruining the Game We Love. Later, Dave and former NBA guard Laron Prophet speak with NFL Players Association Executive Director Demora Smith. But first, our interview with Dave Zarin.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, there really is this, hey, you know, what are we talking about? We're talking about members of the National Football League. They're not workers. They do fine. Why should we give a darn about them?
Well, one reason is that a lot of NFL players end up not even able to work minimum wage jobs when it's all said and done because their bodies are so ravaged. A typical NFL player only plays 3.5 years and dies 20 years earlier than a typical American male. As one player said to me, it's the only job that has a 100% injury rate. And they're currently locked in the most high-profile set of labor negotiations in the United States. So I really do think it's something that the labor movement should pay attention to, unless we forget the NFL Players Association is the only sports union that's part of the AFL-CIO.
And Dave, the contract, the owners are threatening to do a lockout in 3 months. What's the politics behind that? What are they trying to get?
Well, it's pretty terrible all around because the politics of it are pretty simple. The owners want the players to play 2 extra games a year, go from 16 games to 18 games. And they're not talking about any raises in pay or any expansion in the roster to go along with that. Coupled with that, they want the players to take wage cuts across the board. Now, you asked specifically about what the politics are behind this, and I'd like to share that with you because I think this is where you get to an issue that where you see that this really affects all of us, whether we're football players or not, and even whether we're sports fans or not. The main justification that the owners are giving for wanting more money back from the players is that they say that they are making fewer profits because they're getting less money in these tight economic times in public subsidies for stadiums, real estate, tax breaks, and all the rest of it. And like I said, this is something that affects all of us because public stadium construction, I mean, look at the new Meadowlands out there in New York, over $1 billion. Look at the new Yankee Stadium, over $1 billion. Look at Citi Field, $1 billion park. This has become a substitute for anything resembling a real urban policy in this country. I mean, these stadiums are neoliberal Trojan horses, and not only have they been used over the last 20 years to soak taxpayers, now they're going to be used, or they're not getting more money for them, is going to be used as a way to soak the people we actually pony up for tickets to go watch.
You know, I just want to go back to something for a moment. If one listens to The Fan, you know, sports radio, you'll constantly hear it's very easy to trigger folks who wait for maybe even an hour to get on a phone call for a 2-second recitation of their own perspective, and then they're unceremoniously cut off. But the antagonism to the players, good gracious, these money bags, what the heck do they want? You know, let's get rid of Willie Randolph. Let's get rid of Omar Manai. Let's get rid of, you know, instantaneously. Put in perspective for us the reality again and just continue what you've been doing.
Sure.
These are workers. What the heck is really going on here? What should we understand?
They're workers. They're also the faces of sports. I mean, occasionally you do get an owner like the late George Steinbrenner, who is, in a lot of ways, the face of their franchise. But in most cities, the owner is a very shadowy figure. In my book, I call it the Kaiser Sose principle, you know, like the movie The Usual Suspects, where he says the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing us that he didn't exist. So fans generally get angry at lockouts or strikes in sports because at the end of the day, what it does is it denies them their escape. It denies them their ability to kick back and enjoy the show. And so then who do you lash out at in that situation? Well, the sports media is very adept at sculpting and shaping where fans should be lashing out. They should be lashing out at the people who get paid millions of dollars to play a child's game. I mean, that we've heard that so often. Yet the reality of it, and I try to pound this home for folks, is really quite different. I mean, I mentioned that in the NFL, the typical career is 3.5 years. It's really not much longer in Major League Baseball or in the National Basketball Association as well. And all of these leagues are facing potential labor lockouts. And they're all being done on the theory of, well, these are tight economic times, and you know what? We're not going to see our profit margins go down. It's going to come out of your hides, not ours. And we're seeing this happen to regular workers all across the United States right now with the absence of extension of unemployed benefits, the announcement today of the federal wage freeze. And when this happens in the world of sports, it's kind of like our national story writ large. So whether or not the workers in this situation, the players, win or lose, I really do believe it has this really, really powerful ripple effect in all of our lives.
And, of course, this also involves health care, which is a big story throughout the country. Mm-hmm. How much has health care involved in this whole discussion in the lockout and also in the injuries that the players are sustaining?
Let me just add something to that, if I may. I was very surprised, actually, when a number of people that I spoke to about speaking with you and the issue of health care, they said, wait a minute, they didn't even know that health care was part of any contract issues and stuff. So it's interesting, again, how little people think of these sports figures as workers and what the duration of their work life is.
Yeah, and people also have to consider, like, they think about a contract that might be, say, let's call it a 5-year, $2 million contract. And they think, well, that's more money than I'll ever see in my entire life. And it may be. But people don't consider, first of all, half of it goes to taxes, a section goes to the agent, a section goes to the lawyers. And then at the end of that 5 years, this person is 27 years old, and their career is usually over on the average. And so then they're 27 trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their lives. And usually their body is in a situation at that point where the actual choices of what they can do has real limitations. And the healthcare issue has become so pungent in this NFL battle because the health needs of players after they retire is so intense, from legs, knees, joints to the concussion issue. It's really, really, really an intense set of health needs and demands that a player has. One player said to me, you know, people ask me what I do for a living. I say I'm a professional patient. And they really do get old before their time. Another player once said to me that to play in the NFL is to sacrifice your middle age. You go straight from being young to being old. And the thing that the NFL owners have done, which is seen as so provocative by the players, is that they've announced that when they start their lockout, they are going to suspend, and this is in the spring, mind you, they're going to suspend all the health benefits for all the players. Like, they will not be have to have their health care paid for once they're locked out. Now, this is an unnecessary act. It was a provocative act, and it sent a shockwave through a lot of players in the NFL who depend on things like off-season rehab to get ready for the next season, not to mention players who have pregnant wives, or there are several players who have young children with disabilities or who need even heart surgeries, who are wondering how they're going to be able to pay for their family's needs, because now you're talking about medical bills that would threaten even a professional athlete's salary.
You know, we have the two union presidents here with us who are facing tremendous layoffs. They're public workers from District Council 37, Fay Moore and Fitz Reed. And they're listening intently. I don't want to preclude you. Fay,
Can I say something to them if I could?
Please directly? Do. Absolutely.
Well, I've been speaking a great deal to Demora Smith, the head of the NFL Players Association, and he's the first sports union leader I've ever spoken with, and I've spoken with a lot, who's very, very serious about the concepts of solidarity and building ties with other unions. And he said to me, tell any of these guys, tell any labor leader out there, if they ever want someone from the NFLPA or if they ever want a player to come speak at a union meeting, we'll send somebody.
I think
that's something people should really think about.
I think you're absolutely right. We see these players as celebrities. We see them as stars. We don't see them as workers. And as an avid football fan, football is work. And people have to understand what players give up physically in order to entertain us. And the fact that they have a leader now that wants to join in with other unions, you just made my whole evening.
It's significant.
It really is significant. And I told a gentleman that who worked at the district council over in Denver, and he didn't believe me. I gave him the email of one of Demora Smith's assistants. The guy got back to him within 48 hours, and he had someone come to the union meeting in Denver. He said it was one of their best union meetings.
And you have another president who wants to echo, I think, what Faye was saying.
Just a quick thing. When I was small, my parents told me, try to be independent, be a doctor, a professional. Now, what we have seen is the professionals are dehumanized. They have got to go into the unions now. They have lost status. The system is downgrading all of these professionals. I represent people in the hospital, and I see the doctors were on picket line a couple of weeks ago, and we have other professionals who are doing the same thing. We have a number of attorneys who have got to be in the unions now. So the point we are saying is that the system is pushing these professionals down into the working class, and it's very important we all stand and work together because our goals are the same, and only solidarity, right, among the working class that can really liberate us. Thank you.
And from what I understand, the NFL will be joining state and local labor bodies, and the AFL-CIO has taken up this issue also. So there is increased communication between these bodies.
Yeah, because they have always been a formal part of the AFL-CIO, the NFL Players Association. It's just that the NFLPA, like many sports unions, and frankly, we have to say, like many unions broadly, didn't see the use value in solidarity over these last many decades. But I think the brother who spoke before is absolutely correct. The more you have folks beaten down, and my wife is a teacher, so I can tell you definitely about the way these jobs that maybe one time were seen as professional jobs have been just thoroughly proletarianized. I mean, that's the reality of our lives here in our house. Is just, I think, real. And it's solidarity becomes not just the best option, it becomes the only option.
Dave, let me ask you, what's the likelihood of a lockout this time around?
Well, I asked Demora Smith this. That's really the person to ask, and I'll tell you what he said. He said on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 14. Now, that's a pretty
intense
high number. And he told me that last spring, and I asked him that a couple months ago, and he said still 14. So we'll see. But at this point, I mean, there is so much anger among NFL players that when the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, visited teams in the offseason, the players booed and hooted him out of the room. And that they did that without any instigation from the union. Before the first game this year between the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings, which was watched by 18% of households in all of the United States, the players came out on the field to put a number one in the air, to signify that they were one team, not two teams playing each other. That might have been the most widely seen act of labor solidarity in the history of the United States.
How do you begin to generate an empathy and an understanding in the working class itself for what it produces and sometimes demeans itself, really? What do we do in terms of really building support for the National Basketball Association players, for the NFL players, so that we don't wind up with this kind of contempt? And if indeed there is a lockout, that we are on the right side.
Well, there's a very good website called NFLLockout.com that was put up by the union for the purposes of fans checking in. That's NFLLockout.com with only one L, like NFLLockout.com. And I recommend that. I also recommend an organization that I'm on the board of called the Sports Fan Coalition, which exists for the purpose of organizing fans to have an independent voice in this process against things like public stadium funding, the monopolization of the cable industry, and things like lockouts, which, of course, not just hurt the games, but hurt the fans. And as DeMora Smith says, and he says this in every speech, a lockout's not just about us. A lockout's about every stadium worker being locked out, every concession worker being locked out, every waiter or waitress picking up an extra shift in the restaurants around the stadium being locked out. A lockout is so much bigger than just players versus owners. And so I think getting that message out there, I think, is a very important tack to take.
And I think we need to get DeMora Smith on and have you back as our kind of co-host, if you'd be so kind.
I mean, he can handle himself with you guys, and him would be together like Fred and Ginger, so I don't think you'd need me. But I'd be happy to pass on his contact info if you'd like him.
And I won't even try to figure out which Ken, are you Fred or Ginger? Never mind, we can get into that later.
I'm not Ginger. I don't know if I'm Fred, though.
Well, you'd work together well in concert.
Thank you. Faye, we're going to give you the last, if you have, the last 30 seconds word on this for David.
This is an attack on workers all across the nation at all levels, public sector, private sector, entertainment sector. This is a time where we have, where we can look each other in the eye, say solidarity forever, ever, and move forward. This is not a joke. This is nothing to be toyed with or be trivialized. This is a fight, a struggle for working people all over the country at all levels.
Well, I have to thank David Zarin for being with us and really strongly encourage you to get his book. It is absolutely excellent. Bad Sports, How Owners Are Ruining the Games We Love. David, thank you so much for joining us and for our participation from Faye Moore and Fitz Reed. Hey, workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your change.
And you have a world to win.
Thanks, Dave.
Music from the Internationale, compliments of Utah Phillips and Andy DeFranco. Next up, from his Edge of Sports radio show, Dave Zarin with former NBA guard Laron Prophet speak with NFL Players Association Executive Director DeMora Smith.
big news with regards to sports and labor, and I'm aware we're running a little short on time.
Yep,
the big news, sports and labor, recently, for once, has not involved the NFL. It was David Stern coming out and demanding, saying we were going to have 35% cuts in wages, and Billy Hunter
not
responding.
My godfather.
NBA Players Association, saying, well, that would guarantee a lockout if you think that's what's going to happen. And David Stern responds to that saying, oh, I don't think Billy Hunter ever would have said that and threatened me with a lockout. I mean, lately, David Stern, seriously, he's been acting like, I mean, he thinks he's the godfather, and he's been acting like straight up Fredo.
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, it's been straight Fredo, though. It's been incompetence.
Some of the numbers have just been crazy.
It has been talking about contraction and the rest of it. I wanted to ask you, though, DeMarcus, because I know you're a big picture guy. You see this happening with the NFL. You see this happening in the NBA, and you're close with Mr. Hunter. You see it on the horizon in Major League Baseball and the NHL. How do you understand this big picture-wise, this confluence of all these labor struggles
in
sports?
It's the same play.
Talk to us.
It's the same play. What another nice point of fact for our fans, whether it is the NBA or the NFL Players Association, both represented, both the NFL and the NBA, both represented by the same law firm.
Wow.
In these labor negotiations.
Wow.
So the guy Proskauer Rose.
Wow. Proskauer Rose.
So Bob Batterman, the same guy who locked out hockey for a year, he's the lead negotiator for the NFL right now.
Wow.
Why are they making this play right now? Most people look at sports and see a golden goose.
And the NHL has
because it
recovered.
Is a golden goose.
Yeah.
So it is a golden
goose. They just want more eggs? Is that what it comes down to?
Bob Batterman says, and it's a great thing to pull up. Any fan can pull it up on their computer. Bob Batterman said in an interview, it's not that the NFL teams are losing money. It's just that they want more money.
Very honest of him.
He said that when it came to the profits of NFL teams, it is, quote, none of the players' business.
Wow.
So we're not talking about teams losing money. We're not even talking about teams being squeezed. I've said that if any NFL team is losing money, if the overall trend of teams is losing money, show us and we'll fix the collective bargaining agreement.
There's no way those NFL teams losing money.
Well, look, when a guy gets on
and there's no way they're going to show him the books.
No, well, when a guy is bold enough to say in an interview with his alma mater, now that we're talking about homecoming.
quick plug.
When he's bold enough to say that NFL profits are none of our business.
Mm. Love the transparency.
Love the transparency.
Like the George Bush administration.
I mean, Bob Batterman is kind of like the Karl Rove of this process. He's
Karl Rove.
Love
the transparency. We're going to war, and that's all you need to know.
I'm
going to
start calling Bob Batterman Goodell's brain.
We're the weapons of mass destruction.
The way we called Karl Rove Bush's brain, Batterman is Goodell's brain.
That's an interesting fact that I don't think a lot of people were. They're represented by the same law firm.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's something I'm going to. I know a Todd Thomas is probably sitting home right now going, I'm going to find out why that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so the other, all four major sports.
Shout
all
out to the poet.
Four major yes. sports are represented by the
same. And I don't think the NHL. That was a real problem, was there wasn't unity amongst the players initially. Are you worried about that being a problem? Because when you come with a proposal and you say, hey, this is what we can do, are you worried that, hey, you have one half of the room split and the other half split in terms of being able to unify them when it comes to making a decision?
I'll be blunt, no.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. I mean, you coming out of the box into this job, it doesn't take long when you study the history of the National Football League or the NBA. It seems to me that being dead honest with ourselves in the history of work stoppages in sports, all of us look to baseball.
Yeah.
About the unity that they had among their players during
incredible
unity. That is the model, and I was lucky enough to learn a little bit at the feet of Marvin Miller, and got to meet him recently and talk to him about how he formed that baseball union into a juggernaut of solidarity and unity. So out of the box, I went right to guys like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Tony Gonzalez. Maurice Jones-Drew already had guys like Jeff Saturday and Kevin Mawai. But when you can start to pull guys in, like Aaron Rodgers, we now have a number of players who are not only good, solid football players and high-profile players, but they're going to be strong leaders for our team.
So So no worries of the equivalent of the quarterback club in the 80s. Where
no,
you had
no worries about the Joe Montana who crossed the line. No, just to be blunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was wondering.
And for me, you know, when all of those fans saw that kickoff on Thursday night, and
brilliant.
You saw Jared Allen and Steve Hutchison lead their team out, and you saw Drew and Will Allen, Will Smith lead their team out.
Will Smith was there?
Will Allen.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.